हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 96, chapter 82. Sukadeva Goswami continued, The Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. After embracing each of them and inquiring about their well-being, he laughed and spoke as follows. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Then in order to appease them, he brought them to a special room. His personal consolation is described. Knowing everything, he closely associated with the gopis who had attained an intolerable state of separation from him. At night, in a private place, he simultaneously, by his special powers, embraced each gopi in order to bring them out of a fainting condition, which they entered out of intense prema. He consoled them as they were constantly weeping and fainting. Seeing that they quickly recovered, he asked about their health. Previously, he had taught them a method of getting relief from separation through Uddhava. That method should not produce this effect. He asked about their general health in order to hide his own offense of not coming before this time. After some time he passed in pleasant talk, he started to smile to reduce their lamentation and then spoke some astonishing words. Lord Krishna said, My dear girlfriends, do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. Do you perhaps think I'm ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living beings together and then separates them. The BBC purport states, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti reveals the gopi's thought, We are not like you, who with your heart shattered by remembering us day and night, gave up all sense enjoyment in your distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all. In fact, we have been quite happy without you. In response, Krishna here asked whether they resent his ingratitude. Night gives us that, oh, have you missed him? Yes, what? Who are you? Yeah. It's just the nature, how it works. Right? Lord Krishna continued, Just as the wind brings together masses of clouds, blades of grass, wisps of cotton, and particles of dust, only to scatter them all again, so the Creator deals with His created beings in the same way. Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life, but by your good fortune, you have developed a special loving attitude towards me, by which you have obtained me. Right, so means the others then they get that eternal life, but they, because of their service, then they gain Krishna. Right, that's the specialness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, most eloquent one, we know that Lord with whom you find fault is famous to the whole world as yourself. Right, because he's saying it's the Lord who brings them together and takes them apart. And they're saying, yes, that person you're finding fault with, because he's saying, I was just going for this, what to do, the Supreme keeps us apart, brings us together, it's his will. And they're saying, yeah, but that Supreme who's doing all that keeping apart and together, that's you. Yeah. Oh, friends, if it is true that I am the Lord, okay, and then he says, then even so, I am dependent on your love for me. Thus he speaks this verse. Right? Even if he is independent, he's still dependent on their affection. Just by devotion to me, one can achieve liberation. But what you have attained, but that you have attained affection from me is most fortunate for me, for it causes you to attain me, mat apanaha. So that's apan das, attaining Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. The meaning is of the last statement is pulling me with force. Your affection brings me close to you, and very quickly it establishes me right beside you. Right, so that's why then he, because of their affection, he has to be involved with them. That's why then he arranged and made all these different things. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Lord Krishna continued, "Dear ladies, I am the beginning and end of all created beings and exist both within and without of them. Just as the elements, ether, water, earth, air, and fire are the beginning and end of all material objects and exist both within and without them." So now he's speaking again like that message to Uddhava, that Uddhava brought. The BBT purport states, according to Srila Sridhar Swami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Lord Krishna implies the following idea in this verse. If you know that I am the Supreme Lord, there should be no question of your suffering any separation from me, since I pervade all existence. Your unhappiness must be due to a lack of discrimination. Therefore, please take this instruction from me, which will remove your ignorance. Okay, but the truth of the matter is that you gopis were in your previous lives great masters of yoga, and thus you must already know this science of jnana yoga. Furthermore, whether I try to teach this to you in person or through my representatives such as Uddhava, it will not produce the desired result. Jnana yoga simply causes suffering for those who are fully immersed in pure love of God. But because they're fully absorbed in Krishna, and so they're then through jnana yoga they can see Krishna in everything. So it just increases their feeling of separation.
Yes.
But the point is it increases that love, it increases everything. It makes it more deep. But so he's saying is no, this should, you know, create that now you're peaceful and everything because you see me in everything and all that. But the point is that they now are seeing him in everything, and therefore the separation from him as the person is greater.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Those in Shanta Ras, this solves all their problems. They're fully absorbed in Krishna, and they never feel separation. But for the gopis, it only increases the separation. Because more they would see, oh, this and that. You know, okay, when we go here, Krishna, we did this, and when he was there, he did that. But now it's they can see him in anything. So the separation is increased. So the intensity is increased. That means the love is increased. So Krishna is being controlled by them, or his, you know, this mad apanaha means becomes greater.
Yes. And that's why Krishna doesn't go back so often to Vrindavan.
That's there because it means it's also you're tasting this aspect of separation, which is not a problem for those already on the platform of prema. It's a natural part of the. Of their interaction. But those who haven't come to that platform, then this will completely bring them to that platform. You know, so it's both. It means for those who are advanced, they're tasting, it's nice for them. For those who aren't on that level, it will bring them that to that level. So. Lord Krishna continued, in this way, all created things reside within the basic elements of creation, while the spirit souls pervade the creation, remaining in their own true identity. You should see both of these. The material creation and the self as manifest within me, the imperishable supreme truth. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, this important instruction by Lord Krishna to the gopis can be utilized by all devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. The whole philosophy is considered on the basis of inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is present everywhere in his impersonal feature. Everything exists in him, but still, he is not personally present everywhere. So that's why even you perceive him. Where's the person? Somewhere else. That's what we're meaning. That's why it's separation. Even though it's him and it's not different from him. Right? The effect is if you are with him, but at the same time, it's since he as a person is separate from this, there's still that feeling of separation. Right? So never thought of it that the second verse was talking about the separation of Krishna and the gopis. Right? Yes.
So can we say, Maharaj, that according to the realizations, different devotees, they see Krishna differently, although he's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
But according to their own position, they see, say, for example, Paramatma both in Brahman and Bhagavan, because this is their focus.
Yes, yes. It's just like the Yadavas. They will see him as Paramatma. They're interacting with him as a person, but that they're seeing him as Paramatma, who pervades all existence, because they're demigods.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for them, then Vishnu, because when you say Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who is that Vishnu? Right? It's Kiradaksha Vishnu, who is Paramatma.
Right.
So for them, here is the manifestation of that, of Aniruddha, or Kiradaksha Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's there with them in Dwarka. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not Aniruddha that in the pastime there, meaning the Lord, the Paramatma. So we're seeing there. So they'll see as Kiradaksha Vishnu is the one that's coming with them. So yeah, like that. So you have that aspect of how he's everything. So the Shanta Bhaktas, they'll be a little bit more. The aspect of the Brahman aspect is there, but it's still, it's the person is that, but that it still takes on a more significance for them. So, because he is Brahman, that is there, they don't feel separation. But for the gopis, because he is Brahman, but he's separate from Brahman, even though he is Brahman, he's beyond all these things. He's beyond Paramatma. Because he's the person who is Paramatma and is Brahman. So then you can therefore feel separation. But it's only, you get that of separation when you see the two together. Does that make sense?
Not the last one.
Means unless you see that he is everything, but he's separate from everything at the same time, then only you get the separation. You know, this level of separation. Otherwise, yes, he's there, you're here, then there's going to be something. But when it's pervading everything, that increases it totally, because you're always with the person, but at the same time, to them as a personality, is separate from that. So we can see as all these aspects, even this and that, basic fundaments and creation, it all comes from this point when in Sambhoga and Vipralamba with Krishna and the devotees. So that's why, you know, our acharyas have no difficulty dealing with all these. It's not like, oh, this is dry and all. You know, how is it dry? This is just the technical point explaining why there's separation in Sambhog. And why Sambhog is more intense. I mean, Vipralamba is more intense, but Sambhog is the principal point. Because if Vipralamba is the principal point, then separation is fine. Why do you need to be with Krishna? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, it's just like the Stai Bhav is the your root, but the main element is the Vibhava. Because the Vibhava is that relationship of the devotee with the Lord and those things that remind the devotee of the Lord in his pastimes. So that's what makes everything work. Though it's, does that make sense? You know, like Sanatan Goswami is the senior brother, but Rupa Goswami is the head of the line. You know, so that's, these things can work. It's not a problem. That's why we have so much fun. Because all of it can go on at once.
It's also interesting that in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami, he puts Vibhava first and then explains everything, and then the last he explains Staibhava, and I couldn't understand why, because Staibhava should be, you know, in my mind, should be first explained.
Yeah. But the point is you don't really have it unless that other is there, because you have to have that rati,
yeah,
that attraction. Then you have rasa. Is that the sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So it's just also how we'll catch it. Because these are all the ways to think of Krishna. Because we just talk about the Staibhava, what are you going to think about? Nothing. But if you talk about the Vibhava, then all you're explaining is Krishna. And so that gives rise to a particular kind of rati that therefore then matures into one's Staibhava. Is that?
Since the deity is personally Krishna, and then with advanced devotees he also reciprocates in that way, why do we see that, like, that Vishnu Priya, he had a deity of Lord Chaitanya, she was watching, but still there is so much separation, feeling of separation.
I would say you'd have to ask her about that. He's asking, is that the deity is non-different from Krishna, so Vishnu Priya has a deity of Lord Chaitanya, why does she feel separation? Clever, no? Yeah, so the point is, when she's serving the deity, then she's with Lord Chaitanya. You know, but at the same time, it's he'll reciprocate with those services and that, but in his original form, that he might move around the house, go out with her, go places and all that, well, the deity won't. He'll just reciprocate according to, you have the 16 items of worship, and he'll be there and accept your worship for that. But it's not that he won't reciprocate and all that, but, you know. But you see the Goswamis, they just take the deity with them. You know, they're out under a tree, hang him in the tree there, go to the next tree, he sits in the next tree. But ultimately, the system is how it's used, is they have a temple and everyone, and you go see them. So there'll be both the aspects of when she's worshiping and that, of not having that separation. At the same time, there's activities that won't be happening. Yeah. Because he's there, but at the same time, there's also the all the activities that he does. Not that the deities don't have that activities, but the point is that it's a matter of the taste. We're talking about the taste here. Because we're talking about Sambhog and Vipralamba, we're talking about taste. So we can only give some indication. You know, just the full technical points like that. Because in one sense, for us, it doesn't matter. First, you know, it's one of those, well, you come to that platform where you see the deity is non-different, the name is non-different, and then you can appreciate what the difference is. Though there's no difference. The non-different difference. Okay. Yes.
Yesterday you explained that Sambhog and Vipralamba eternally connected.
Yes.
But for us, what is our experience? We never had that connection with Krishna, so it technically can be...
That's why we have to associate with those who have that.
So it's not Vipralamba, we can't say we experience Vipralamba.
No, because unless there's Sambhog, how is there Vipralamba?
Yeah.
Like that, yeah. So there's some connection to Krishna, then that separation can be there. Whether it's name, form, qualities, or pastimes, it doesn't matter. But the point is, it's like Radharani, the first time she heard, you know, something about Krishna, then she's feeling that longing. But when you have that, I think technically what it is that when it's separation, but you haven't met Krishna, then that's called Purva Rag.
Yeah.
It's there. So separation has a few different definitions. So when you haven't met him, it's Purva Rag. Then once you've met him, then it takes on a different quality. Okay. Because it's inherent. There's some separation because of what you've heard and all that. But he is all that, but at the same time, he's separate from that. So it's creating separation, but that full aspect of Sambhog, he's also... He is that, and separate from that. That separateness hasn't been tasted. So only the various aspects that are there. So it won't be as intense. Therefore, then, from that, it brings you to the apan, where you actually attain Krishna. Having attained Krishna, then that will give that more intense. then that will bring you to prema. And then there it just, you know, that just continues like that eternally. Just getting, you know, more and more full, more and more better. Does that make sense?
Can we say that by trying to understand and test some rasa, not test, to understand the rasa, we need to start by shanta?
We need to start by shanta. No, we have to start by surrender to Krishna. Because shanta is already a position. Means, in one sense, you could say we're in shanta because it's a matter of we're appreciating Krishna.
Yes, yes.
But it's not that how you say, has come to the fullness of prema.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is in that process, unless one's rasa is shanta, then one's natural rasa will then start to come out.
Yes, yes.
Right? So it's inherent.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like, let's say there's a fruit that by nature I would like, but I haven't eaten it, someone's telling me how great it is.
Yes.
So then I try it, and in trying it, I appreciate it, so that then brings out my, you know, attraction to that.
Yes.
So it's by associating with those who have this attraction, that's how we get attraction. But we associate by hearing the shastras.
Yes.
But as you can see, is from what's being explained here, Krishna is dealing with the pinnacle of the most intense platforms of separation, the highest manifestation of love of Krishna. And he's discussing like this. Mother Yashoda doesn't say that. It's only with them, because they can more and more see him finer and finer and everything. So that oneness of him being in everything, and at the same time it increases the difference, because he is a person is different from that. So it just intensifies the oneness and difference. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on. So it's not that these technical points are a problem for those who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You know, or in Braja Bhakti and all that. It means if you're following in a line or influenced by these lines from the Sahajiyas and the, you know, the Goswamis and the, like that, you know, the Babajis and these, then you might come up with these material perspectives. But that there is some particular sadhana for this. But no, it's not. Like that, the sadhana is the same. Hearing and chanting, remembering, it's the same. It doesn't change. So any of this reminds them of Krishna. So you can say, no, but I want to develop the love of the Brajvasis. You know, so therefore I should only hear about Brajalila. No, because the Braja Bhav is a detail of Bhava within the principle of love of God. In other words, we accept and surrender to God as a person and therefore serve Him in devotion. That's the principal thing. Then a detail happens to be which realm, you know, sweetness or majesty or a mix. And then within that realm, more specific, which of the five rasas. You know, does that make sense? And then there's details within that, and then, you know, it keeps going. So, therefore, it's not that any devotee and their loving exchange with Krishna can awaken that sense of surrender to Krishna. Because that is first is that, then comes the detail. So that's why Shravanadasa means you hear. Varanadasa, then you start to adjust. You start to, absorb, you start to, accommodate. You know, like, okay, now I have to apply this, you know, in my life, and how I have to surrender, and I'm a devotee of Krishna, how to do everything as a devotee of Krishna. Because if you're not always absorbed in Him, and always doing everything in connection with Him, seeing everything connected to Him, seeing everything as an opportunity to offer to Him, then how are you going to function on these more detailed platforms? Does that make sense? If I don't understand the principles, let's say, of cooking, how am I going to cook, Vietnamese cooking? I don't understand cooking at all. How am I going to know? Do I, we just want that, so we only want that. No, you first learn what's cooking. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that it's thought that, no, this is the... the specific is the... No, it's you have the principles, you approach it through the generic knowledge itself. Then it will develop specific. Because everything's resting there. The Jnana Shakti is there for in support of the Kriya Shakti, which is there for fulfilling Krishna's desire. So you don't have the right mood and all that, then the rest of it doesn't matter. You know, sahajas can go reading 10th canto all day, rolling on the ground in ecstasy. It doesn't matter. They're not getting anywhere. Right? Other than, you know, they'll have very clear tear ducts, you know, like that. And that, they won't get blocked or anything like that. But, you know, they like that.
You can say that you surrender to Krishna is the primary thing and rasa is secondary.
It's not so as it's secondary. We're just saying that will come. That will come along with it. You appreciate it. It develops together. But what we're saying is, if you don't surrender, what's the meaning of a relationship?
Yes.
That's the whole point. So unless there's surrender, like you see, unless you pay, you don't get the goods. Mm-hmm. So when Lord Nityananda is, you know, having the marketplace of the holy name. And he's distributing. What's the price? Shraddha. You have faith, then you can get it. No faith, you don't get anything. What do you say? Bupkis. Right? So that's how it works. So that surrender is first. Not, oh, we'll just do all that, that'll cause the surrender. No, it's not. Any devotion of any devotee will cause surrender. It's not that we don't associate. We associate with our acharyas connected to the scriptures. They're describing these ones. That's why we're reading these ones. You know, if all the acharyas had commented on Vishnu Purana, we'd be reading Vishnu Purana. But they comment on Bhagavatam. That's why we're reading Bhagavatam. So they think. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is present everywhere in His impersonal feature. Everything exists in Him, but still He is not personally present everywhere. The cosmic manifestation is nothing but a display of Krishna's energy. And because the energy is not different from the energetic, nothing is different from Krishna. When the absolute consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is absent, we are separated from Krishna. But fortunately, if this Krishna consciousness is present, then we are not separated from Krishna. The process of devotional service is the revival of Krishna consciousness. If the devotee is fortunate enough to understand that the material energy is not separate from Krishna, then he can utilize the material energy and its products in the service of the Lord. But in the absence of Krishna consciousness, the forgetful living entity, although part and parcel of Krishna, falsely puts himself in the position of enjoyer of the material world. And being thus implicated in material entanglement, is forced by the material energy to continue his material existence. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Although a living entity is forced to act by the material energy, he falsely thinks that he is the all in all and the supreme enjoyer. He's working by the material energy, but he thinks, I'm the one that's doing everything. Right? So without Krishna consciousness, you can't always be properly engaged, because you're Krishna conscious. You see Krishna in everything, everything connected to Krishna, therefore everything becomes utilized in Krishna's service. And so here then, that's how they see everything connected to Krishna. They're always Krishna conscious. They're the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, is he's not personally in everything, though everything is him. So therefore, they're always with Krishna, but it doesn't mean they don't feel separation. So here when Prabhupada is using, that means you're with or not with, means If you're Krishna conscious, you're always with Krishna. Right?
Yes.
But at the same time the person is separate from that. So that's the fun part. Well?
Yes, there's one example how gopis always 100% meditate on Krishna. And there's one verse in the Bhagavatam, it says that they were doing the cow dung patties and, you know, different household activities. And they were always in meditation, deep. But then, even while their children were crying, which is very difficult for a lady to concentrate on anything else when the child is like really, you know, screaming, still they were, you know, 100%, you know, their mind was on Krishna. So that is the proof. Because no one else can do that, basically.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's the highest. It says, yes. So Krishna is giving that method by which you're always with him. But at the same time, as it's not that, there won't be that feeling of separation for those who have attained him. You know, for us, we'll just feel we're with Krishna and be happy. So don't worry. So if we're worried, no, but what about the misery? No, you won't be miserable. It's only when it comes to prema, then that will be there. But then it's not misery. So as long as you think it's misery, then it won't be misery for you. And as soon as you understand that misery is not misery, but it's ecstasy, then that's what you have.
It's also from yesterday's discussion, is that all the rasas at Kurukshetra, they're very comfortable, except for the gopis. Gopis, they're the only ones that are uncomfortable. Otherwise, everybody else, as you say, they're completely happy.
Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus been instructed by Krishna in spiritual matters, the gopis were freed of all tinges of false ego because of their incessant meditation upon him. And with their deepening absorption in him, they came to understand him fully. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, the gopis, having been instructed by Krishna in this philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, remained always in Krishna consciousness and thus became liberated from all material contamination. The consciousness of the living entity who falsely presents himself as the enjoyer of the material world is called Jiva Kosha, which means imprisonment by the false ego. Not only the gopis, but anyone who follows these instructions of Krishna is immediately freed from the Jiva Kosha imprisonment. A person in full Krishna consciousness is always liberated from false egoism. He utilizes everything for Krishna's service and is not at any time separated from Krishna. Right, so that's the point, is that if we take these things up, these instructions, and follow them, then we'll come to the same platform of never being separated from Krishna. The gopis are always with Krishna. Right, that makes sense.
Prabhupada brings out so smoothly the principle without... Like, it's so difficult in such a fast time to bring out the principle so smoothly and then...
Yes, so that's the uniqueness. That's why you have to approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. That's the meaning of the founder acharya. So it's not that he's the guy who started ISKCON. He's the founder acharya of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. You know, like that. And so then, following him, then we appreciate. And so any teaching of therefore anyone in the Gaudiya line will become more clear. Even the previous acharyas, anyone present now, anything like this, it'll always, because that's what he's come to do. Does that make sense? You know, just like in the Sri line, then if one takes Ramanuja's instructions, then wherever you are in the line, you'll understand what's going on. Does that make sense? Say with Madhva, Nimbarka, Vishnu, that's... It gives that clarity. So that's the principle. And since Lord Chaitanya's, you know, is the central mission of the age, therefore even the other sampradayas will find clarity by studying Prabhupada's books. Mm-hmm. In other words, if they take the what's there in the Bhagavad Gita, like Prabhupada's Gita, They read the purport. Then, understanding that, then they read their acharya's purport, they'll understand more of what their acharya is saying. Because that's the thing, is he just so simply and nicely, because he's not trying to technically present it. He's just presenting it. But logically, because that's how people, they want their intelligence to be satisfied. Right? But at the same time, it's just so straightforward and simple. It doesn't carry the flavor. Like you notice in these things, there's certain words you use, there's certain flavor. And that, while other devotees, their writings, they'll be following this instruction, but sometimes they use words that carry this other, you know, a more intellectual or more other flavor.
Yes.
The Prabhupada doesn't do that. All the words he does, how he puts them together, whether they're very technical or not, they never carry the flavor of technicality. That's the uniqueness of it. Yes.
The one devotee, he made a comment that Srila Prabhupada, he wrote his books specifically for us. But the previous acharyas, they had a different kind of audience. So to understand Rupa and Jiva Goswami, without it's just not possible.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, it's not possible. Because that's the... Like on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's books, Prabhupada made the point, he wrote these for me. You know, and I'm writing these books for you. So, you know, that's how it works. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's works, he only gave Brahma Samhita. Everything else is like, no, you read my books. Then you'll get everything there. So, the acharyas, then he specifically mentioned which books to use. You know, it's not everything. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said two books. Everything, all his teachings are in those two books. And so then he'll give, you know, these different aspects. So he'll give the list of all the books that everybody's written, but then, you know, in his purports, he'll point out which ones he used where. So then that's how you approach. But it has to be with the understanding that we've gotten from Prabhupada. Otherwise, what's the connection? Yeah. The gopis spoke thus, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The gopis are always liberated souls because they are fully in Krishna consciousness. They only pretended to be entangled in household affairs in Vrindavan because of their separation from Krishna. He might have asked them to return with him to his capital city, Dwarka. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, were not interested in the idea of going with Krishna to Dwarka. They wanted to remain busy in Vrindavan and thus feel the presence of Krishna in every step of their lives. Because if you go to Dwarka, then it's a whole different mood and it's not going to be... Right? So it's not that they have any problem with the Leela. They'll see that all in connection with Krishna and Braja. Because Krishna and Braja is doing all these pastimes. So therefore, in Braja, then they'll just be able to remember like that.
Yes. Can we say that in Braja they had a very high level of sambhoga, so that's why their vipralamba in essence matches to that, and that's why they can not like...
But it's the surrender, so it doesn't matter the place. It's not about the place. Like they're taking it that a moment not thinking of Krishna is therefore in the material world. And so then, since household affairs are things that distract you from Krishna, therefore then they're in material life. Right, because they're surrounded by things that distract you, and they're there and engaged in that. But they actually like to be in those situations because it all reminds them of Krishna.
The aspect like where they didn't want to leave Raja when Krishna left, because there's places where Krishna performed the pastimes, so that gives them more.
That's there. It matches the mood, but at the same time, as Krishna's supposed to come back, he's just supposed to go to the sacrifice and come back. Is that, you know? But then he didn't.
Thank you.
They immediately invited Krishna to come back to Vrindavan, right, so that he wouldn't invite them there. This transcendental emotional existence of the gopis is the basic principle of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Right, so since that's the basic principle of it, then we see it develops on all the sides, the tattva aspect, the rasa aspect, it all develops. So it's not a problem like that. So one may say, oh no, but we only want all this rasa stuff. But without the tattva, how you understand it? Because the gopis through that tattva, they're being more absorbed in rasa with Krishna. Because the two are non-different. The Rath Yatra festival observed by Lord Chaitanya is the emotional process of taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. Right? So in other words, in their hearts, how they were taking him back to Vrindavan and all, that's what Rath Yatra is. And where is it happening? At Kurukshetra. So where's Rath Yatra? In Puri, which is Kurukshetra. Yes.
The question is, as Gaudiyas, we see the Rath Yatra in this light, but the others, do they see that the same?
No, it's for them. It's just part of the pancharatric process, or part of the worship that's given in Agaman, which the deity goes out on the rock. So, because it's one of the pancharatric things. All big temples take the deities out on roths.
Right.
But that kind of roth, that's specific for Orissa. How they do it, South will do it differently.
So the pandas and whoever are there, they don't see it as we see it.
Probably not. Like that. You know, it just depends upon their specific relationship. Like that. But the point is, it's a bona fide process, but he's going from one place to another, but he's going to Vrindavan. So they may see there, but now whether they're seeing that as Braja Vrindavan or they're seeing that as Vrindavan, as part of the Dwarka perspective, it doesn't matter. Because in the Dwarka Leela, Vrindavan is there. Remember? And Krishna went there.
Yeah.
And they all saw him, they appreciated. But then the whole idea was of that to bring him around back to Dwarka, perspective. Srimati Radharani refused to go with Krishna to Dwarka to enjoy his company in the atmosphere of royal opulence. For she wanted to enjoy his company in the original Vrindavan atmosphere. Lord Krishna, being profoundly attached to the gopis, never goes away from Vrindavan. And the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan remain fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness, because he's always there. Right? So that's the whole point, is that he may be personally performing his pastimes in Dwarka, but he's always there in Vrindavan. So that's the difficult. When we want to bring it down to time and space, that's where the argument, you can't get beyond that point. Like that. Conclusion. Everything exists in Krishna, but still he is not personally present everywhere. This important instruction by Lord Krishna to the gopis can be utilized by all devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. The whole philosophy is considered on the basis of inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. It means the whole philosophy, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is present everywhere in his impersonal feature. Everything exists in him. But still, he is not present everywhere. But he is not personally present everywhere. The cosmic manifestation, so because he is there in everything, and in Brahman, it is him, and you can perceive him, but at the same time, as personally, he's not there. So it will remind you of him as a person. That's where the separation comes in. Everything exists in him, but still he is not personally present everywhere. The cosmic manifestation is nothing but a display of Krishna's energy. And because the energy is not different from the energetic, nothing is different from Krishna. When this absolute consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is absent, we are separated from Krishna. But fortunately, if this Krishna consciousness is present, then we are not separated from Krishna. The process of devotional service is the revival of Krishna consciousness. And if the devotee is fortunate enough to understand that the material energy is not separate from Krishna, then he can utilize the material energy and its products in the service of the Lord. Because if it's non-different from Krishna, you can use it in Krishna's service. Right? If it's different, you can't use it. Because what's the connection between Krishna and this? Because it's non-different, it can be engaged in Krishna's service. But we'll see it as use in Krishna's service. The problem comes is when we see it different from Krishna and it's for our service. And then if we see it different from Krishna, is how will we use it in Krishna's service? Like those who are very renounced, they don't use anything in Krishna's service. Right? They're reluctant to. But those who see it's all non-different from Krishna can engage in Krishna's service since it is Krishna. So,
materialists, it's pretty clear. They separate the energy from the energetic in order to enjoy it. But then with devotees, we know both material and spiritual belongs to Krishna. But still some part of it we want to enjoy separately, let's say. It's not possible, but still we try.
Yeah.
So, is it like stealing from Krishna? Or what is it?
I mean, since it is Krishna, then it's not stealing from Krishna. It just means you're losing your opportunity to use it in his service, since that's the natural thing that Jiva would do. And so therefore, since you're taking it from Krishna and only use it in a certain capacity, he interacts with you based on that. So if you steal it according to Shastra, then the reaction is different than if you steal it not according to Shastra. Right? And so since everybody wants to be happy, you can only do that by following Shastra. So this idea is, no, we'll please and impress people by showing them how they're not following a Shastra is fine. But they won't be happy that way. So that's why Prabhupada has introduced Varnashram. People can see how nicely the communities are running, how well those things are going. Right? How the interaction between the devotees is going nicely. Then they'll go, what is this? What's going on? They're happy. I want to be happy. Like I said, I was in New York on the subway, the metro, or what do they call it in Europe?
Subway.
Huh? Metro. Okay. Whatever. One of those. Oh, okay. Yeah, because the American connection and so. In Europe, what do you call it?
Different places, different.
Oh, so they use both words?
Yes, yes. No.
They use
UK is underground.
Underground.
France is metro.
France is metro.
The continental is metro.
Okay.
Metro.
Metro. Okay.
Yeah. Russian is also metro.
It's metro. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, they followed France, right? So underground. Huh? The tube, yeah, the tube. Yeah. So one of these, it's that funny train under the ground. Yeah. That. What were you talking about? So you got off into that, and then we lost.
Advertisement on the subway.
Oh yes. Yeah. So then I'm riding on the subway with this other devotee. We're dressed as devotees, so it's obvious. But we're standing. Everyone's sitting because it was a little full. And we're standing and talking and laughing and joking and everything like that. And if you look around on that train, everybody is sober and miserable. And so at one point, some guy comes up to us, a young guy, you know, looked like, you know, probably early 20s or mid-20s, or like that. He came up and said, is there something you guys are doing that I can do? You know, is this just like an exclusive thing, only you can do it, and therefore you're happy? Can I also do it and become happy? So that's the thing, when they see devotees interacting based on the culture of Krishna consciousness, people get attracted. Then they come in contact with the direct activities. So that's the idea. That's the whole point of cultural revolution. This thing, we just keep it to doing the same thing there goes. They're miserable, I'm miserable, we're all miserable. Isn't this fabulous? You know, let's be miserable together. Yeah, so, yeah. Not great preaching.
If we are happy, they'll feel bad. So we need to.
Oh yeah, if we're happy, they'll feel bad. Yeah, you wouldn't want to make them feel bad. So. In fact, if we feel, we should come on the train with one of those cat of nines and be flailing ourselves and everything like that. And if somebody looks up, you want to try? You know, so you're sharing. You know, on that. Sorry.
The purpose of like spiritualizing items in puja or spiritualizing body, is it just like exercise to invoke that consciousness? Because
is it exercise to invoke? It's not exercise to you could say in one sense, because the whole puja is to invoke Krishna consciousness. But all it is you're recognizing what's already there. So that's the whole thing, is that there's this mechanical process of how matter turns into spirit. But we don't understand it already is. But we take it as separateness for us to enjoy, so that's why it takes on the quality of matter. But when we see it as all Krishna's energy, then it doesn't give that effect. Yeah. So we have. That's why, like the deity installation, you have to go through all those technical things, because otherwise people aren't convinced that stone turned into God. Like that. So that's why all that elaborateness. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise you don't need that. Prabhupada said we just have kirtan and the Lord's there.
So somebody has that consciousness, it wouldn't be necessary for this. Somebody who already has that consciousness.
It wouldn't be necessary. No, but generally it's the recommended things. They'll do it anyway, because it's all, you're worshipping the Lord's paraphernalia. They're all servants of the Lord. So what's the problem? You know, for others, it's like, okay, you know, I have to remember this is okay. If this lamp is a servant of the Lord, then when the puja is finished, I can't just toss it in the sink as if it's garbage, because I'm leaving it for the next guy. Because I'm a pujari, I don't wash stuff, and the next guy, the new bhakta that washes stuff, he can deal with it. You know, when he puts it back in the place where I don't have to go around looking at it, then I'll again take it for the puja. So to kind of get rid of all that, is that this is worshipable like that, so maybe even the pujari would wash it and put it away himself. Right? You know, so all these things, it's all there. That since it is all Krishna, it's not a problem. At the same time, all these technical things, because it's all about Krishna, it's still no problem. You know, we get attracted to the idea, oh, can we drop this? Would the advanced devotee do this? Because we come from a culture, we don't follow rules unless we make them up. You know, my house, my rules, right? Isn't that how it goes? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that we are not used to following authority. We don't like authority. It's always been a problem, you know, since the, Robespierre pointed it out, you know. Since then, you know, then what? Oh, really? Oh, wow. You know, so like that. So we've had a problem. But the whole point is that it's always all about Krishna. We're the one that separates it. So that's the weakness, is that when you come from a culture that doesn't like to follow rules, then anything that says we don't have to follow rules, we notice that. What about the one about being always absorbed in Krishna and never forget? You know, giving up lust, anger, greed, attention, you know, those aren't so practical. But this one, hey, giving up rules, I like that one. You know, and the more advanced you are, the less rules. So I love not following rules, so I must really be advanced. Yeah, so it does both. It works for both the neophyte, the madhyama, and uttama. It's not a difference. But it's not necessary for advanced devotees to invoke Krishna consciousness. It's just ways of expressing Krishna consciousness. For the neophyte, it will slowly take them up from when they first wake up in the morning and then starting the rituals there in the abhigamana. Then that makes them so they're Krishna conscious enough to go to the temple to do the puja. Then upadana, then they prepare the things, then yoga, then they make everything spiritualized, then ija, they actually do the worship. But if they stop there, it's still considered neophyte, unless they accept swadhyaya. The aspect of, you know, dealing with all the others and the preaching and guests and devotees and scriptures and tulsi and all that, then actually it's not considered very mature. So puja has all these five aspects. So we're used to, you know, the ija is the main thing. And then for fanatics, they add in yoga. And all the other stuff is that, you know, hey, we're not fanatics. So, yeah. When this absolute consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is absent, we are separated from Krishna. But fortunately, if this Krishna consciousness is present, then we are not separated from Krishna. The process of devotional service is the revival of Krishna consciousness. And if the devotee is fortunate enough to understand that the material energy is not separate from Krishna, then he can utilize the material energy and its products in the service of the Lord. But in the absence of Krishna consciousness, the forgetful living entity, although part and parcel of Krishna, falsely puts himself in the position of enjoyer of the material world. And, being thus implicated in material entanglement, is forced by the material energy to continue his material existence. Okay, so we're Krishna conscious, then we take up spiritual, and if we don't, then we don't. Do we have more, or? Everybody has?
Yes.
So this is... Oh, okay. That's 47 on its own. Okay, so info there. Chapters 83 to 86. So 83, Draupadi meets the queens of Krishna. 84, the sages' teachings at Kurukshetra. 85, Lord Krishna retrieves Devaki's sons. And 86, Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra and Krishna blesses his devotees. Okay, chapter 83. Draupadi meets the queens of Krishna. Pratigya. Lord Krishna then took me away from the bank of the Jamuna. And since then, I have been engaged in the house of Lord Krishna as a sweeper. And the Lord is treating me as his wife. Right? Means I have the position of a sweeper, but he treats me as his wife. You know, just the Lord's so kind. I'm his servant, but he kindly does like that. Chapter 83 summarizes questions and answers. Draupadi asked the queens of Krishna, question 1041 of Srimad Bhagavatam, from 1083-7. Sri Draupadi then said, O Vaidarbhi, Bhadra, and Jambavati, O Koshalas, Satyabhama, and Kalindi, O Shaibya, Rohini, Lakshmana, and otherwise the Lord Krishna, please tell me how the Supreme Lord Achyuta, imitating the ways of this world by his mystic power, came to marry each of you. Right? Because here's Draupadi asking, hers is something special. You know, with Arjuna, and then here's Arjuna's Lord and her Lord. So how much more special must be their arrangement? Right? The queen's answer in the remainder of the chapter, Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter relates a conversation between Draupadi and Lord Krishna's foremost queens, in which each of them describes how the Lord married her. Lord Sri Krishna returned from his meetings with the gopis and asked King Yudhishthir and his other relatives whether they were well. They replied, My Lord, anyone who has just once imbibed through his ears the honey of your pastimes can never know misfortune. When you're connected with Krishna, what's unfortunate? Material world changes, that happens. That's not the unfortunate. The fortune is forgetting Krishna. Right? Then Draupadi inquired from Lord Krishna's wives how the Lord had come to marry them. Queen Rukmini spoke first. Many kings headed by Jarasandha were intent on giving me in marriage to Shishupal. Thus, at my wedding, they all stood with bows in hand, ready to support Shishupal against any opponents. But Sri Krishna came and forcibly took me away as a lion takes his prey from amidst goats and sheep. Queen Satyabhama said, When my uncle Prasena was killed, my father Satyajit falsely accused Lord Krishna of murder. To clear his name, Krishna defeated Jambavan, recovered the Shamataka jewel, and returned it to Satyajit. Repentant, my father presented the Lord with both the jewel and myself. Queen Jambavati said, When Sri Krishna entered my father's cave in search of the Shamataka jewel, at first my father, Jambavan, did not understand who he was. So my father fought with him for 27 days and nights. Finally, Jambavan understood that Krishna was none other than Lord Ramachandra, his worship of the Lord. Thus he gave Krishna the Shamataka jewel along with me. So the Shamataka jewel is then, you know, how you say, part of two marriages so far, right? Queen Kalindi said, To obtain Krishna as my husband, I perform severe austerities. Then one day, Lord Krishna came to me in the company of Arjuna, and at that time the Lord agreed to marry me. So we hear the rest of them.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.